In a few hours, in Mirtz Hashem, we're going to have the zechut to read the Megillah, Megillat Esther. And the Megillah itself, as part of Tanakh, comes from Esther. And that's the first source on the sheet. It's the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Zayin Amar Aleph. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Shalcha Lahem Esther Lachachamim Kva'uni Ledorot. Esther mandated that Purim should be fixed as a day of celebration, the Dorot, forever. And the next Gemara says, it depends if it's Rav and Rav Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Chaviva, or it's maybe Rabbi Yochanan and not Rabbi Yochanan, maybe it's Rabbi Yonatan, but the last line, Shalcha lahem Esther lachachamim, kitvuni ledorot. Not only celebrate and fix my chag ledorot, but Esther was the one who commanded that this, the Megillah be written ledorot. And so you and I have the zechut to learn it, and we have the mitzvah to read it every single year. And it's called Megillat Esther, and that's the title up on top, Megillat Esther, HaMegillah Shel Esther. What's strange, however, and we have to, I mentioned this when I was talking about Ta'anit Esther, you have to do your best for the next 3 minutes to forget the story of Esther. To forget the story of Esther. We know the end of the story. And they all lived happily ever after. Not exactly. But the story ends well. Baruch Hashem, look, we're around here still. But if you didn't know the story, then you would be frightened and petrified of what Haman plans to do and arranged to do. In addition, if you didn't know the story, and you were sitting here listening to the Megillah, and you knew some chazals, which we're going to say in a moment, you would never have called this Megillat Esther. Esther herself, throughout the beginning of the Megillah, is a non-entity. She's invisible. She's passive. She's literally invisible. Everything we know about her for the first four prakim in the Megillah is Esther taking a back seat. And if you'll take a look, if you'll just scan with me, beginning with Perek Bet, maybe in the middle, we'll start with Yud Bet. We know that there was the beauty contest, and every woman who's brought to the palace to replace Vashti, everyone there had her wishes fulfilled, her beauty wishes fulfilled. Perek Bet Pasuk Yud Bet. Uvehagia Torah Na'ara V'Na'ara Lavo Al HaMelech Achashverosh Miketz Hayot La Kedat HaNashim 12 Chodesh Ki Ken Yimlu Yemei Merukehen 6 Chodeshim B'Shemen HaMor V'6 Chodeshim B'Bsamim Uvetam Rukei HaNashim. Every single woman there gets what she wanted. She got ready, she prepared. And you'll see, those of you who are familiar a little bit with the Nusach of the Megillah, you'll see, this is the Vilna Gaon points this out, many places in Tanakh, the Nusach reflects the feelings of the Na'ara v'Na'ara, every Na'ara in the Megillah, except for Esther herself. If you have a Tanakh, you'll notice that the trup, on top of the words that I just read, Uvagia Tor Na'ara v'Na'ara Lavo Al HaMelech, it looks like this. And right on top of the words, and that, can you see that? That was our nusach that you may know, or your trup that you may know, or may have heard your brother Lane. I think I joked about this before, that they always tell bar mitzvah boys that you've practiced enough when your sister can lane your parsha. So those of you who have younger brothers who were around practicing, you know what I mean. Anyway, this is called in Aramaic kadma viazla. And the Vilna Gaon points out, what does kadma viazla mean? To get up and to go. Every na'ara v'na'ara got up and went. They got up, they were so excited. And yet, if you skip down to pasuk tetvav, uvahagia tor ester bat avichael dod Mordechai asher lakachlo levat lavo al hamelech lo viksha davar ki im et asher yomar hei gais vis hamelech shomer anashim vatihi ester noseitchein b'nei kol roeha. Esther did nothing. And whatever Haggai said, she followed. And the trap, the nusach, under those words, the way it's laid, uvagia tor Esther bat Avichael. What's under those words? This is called a. See that under the word? Under the words, you see that? You see that? That's called a munach. Munach, munach, munach. Esther went very slowly. She was not interested in going. It's interesting to our Torah. But we see that she didn't do anything on her own. Whatever. The na'ara v'na'ara. Everything they wanted, they asked for and they got. Esther lo biksha davar. She doesn't want anything. Not only that, if you skip the pasuk chaf, ein Esther magedet moladeta vet ama kasher tziva le Mordechai. Vet ma'amar Mordechai Esther osa kasher haita be'omna ito. So Esther also listens to Mordechai. She has no name, she has no face, she has no nationality, she has no tudat zehut, she has no passport, she has no driver's license. Whatever Mordechai tells her to do, she does. Before we saw whatever Haggai told her to do, we do. And she's not interested in anything, she's very quiet and she's very passive. Not only that, but Chazal tell us even more so about who she is. And take a look at the second source, it's also not surprisingly, from the Gemara and Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we're not clear whether her name is Esther and the nickname is Hadassah, or whether her name is Hadassah and her nickname is Esther. And in this, according to this opinion, the Gemara has both opinions. According to this opinion, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hadassah Shema, her name is Hadassah. V'lama nikreit Shema Esther, al shem shaita misateret devareha. Her very name, or in this opinion, her very nickname, implies quiet, nothing, passive, invisible. And we also read the pasuk, Vatihi Esther no seitchein beinei kol roeha. The next Gemara down, I just wrote Sham, it's also a Gemara in Megillah. Amar Rabbi Elazar milamed shelakol echad veechad nidmitalo keumato. Esther was so beautiful. Why was she so beautiful? Because everybody saw in her their nationality. A Japanese man saw her and said, "Wow, what a beautiful Japanese woman." An African man saw her, what a beautiful African woman. A German man saw her, what a beautiful German woman. She was literally faceless. She didn't have any identity. Go describe her. If she was walking down the street and 10 people described her, you'd get 10 different descriptions. Because l'kol echad ve'echad nidmetalo ke'umato. Not only that, if you go down to the next source, in Megillah and Chulin Daf, Kuf Lametet Amud Bet, Esther minatora minayin, that Gemara you're familiar with, Haman minatora minayin, and Mordechai minatora minayin. What does that mean? Esther happened way after the Torah, as you heard in the last year. But there's some kind of hint, some kind of remez, some kind of message. Even in the Torah has messages for everything and for everyone. So what message do we get for Esther? I want to hear a story about leadership. I want to hear a story about initiative. And what's the Esther min haTorah minayin? Gemara in Chulin, Esther min haTorah minayin, it's a pasuk in Devarim. Va'anochi haster astir et panai. The message, of course, the other message, maybe the bigger message, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid his face, so to speak. We don't see him. Even when Mordechai does what he does and Haman does what he does, we still don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem's name is mentioned never in the Megillah. So Anochi Aster Astir at Panai. But that's Esther in the Torah Minayin. That's Esther the person. Her very hint in the Torah is closed, hidden. And that's not the Esther that we expected to see. And that's certainly not the Esther that we know from later in the Megillah. It is indeed called Megillat Esther because it is indeed Esther who plays everyone. Eventually, as the Megillah goes on, Esther plays everyone. She plays Achashverosh, she plays Haman, she tells Mordechai what to do, she tells the Jews what to do. Somewhere between the beginning of the Megillah and the end of the Megillah, there is some kind of change that goes on with Esther, and I'd like today for a couple of minutes to explore that change and where that happened and when that happens. But we see from the beginning of Esther, she's quiet, she's a nothing, she's passive, and yet we still call her Megillat Esther. She's the one who says Kva'uni Ladorot and Kitvuli Ladorot. She's the one who tells Haman what to do. She's the one who tells Mordechai what to do. She's got it all arranged. She knows how to play everyone. But in the beginning, she's completely passive, quiet, and invisible. And again, I want to explore where that happens, that change happens. You can open up your Tanakh to Perek Dalet, or I also printed it on the source sheet if you like. And I just want to look at a few sources. Let's see. Beginning with the Perek Dalet Pasuk Aleph. U'Mordechai yada et kol asher na'asa. Perek Dalet already. Haman has been promoted. Haman's plans have become public, not only to Achashverosh, but to the entire world. And of course to Mordechai, the Jews are going to be killed on a random day. This is not an organized killing. This is fate. Jews, you are destined to die. You are destined to be annihilated. Look, I'm just going to roll the dice. Any day that comes up, I don't care. The Jews are destined to be gone. That's Purim, right? The poor. It's the poor. It's the, who cares? That's the whole holiday. Reminds us, whatever the vicissitudes of life, who cares? And everyone knows that, and so does Mordechai. Remember, you don't know the end of the story. And neither does Esther, and neither does Mordechai. So here we are, we're living through it, Tanit Esther, we're living through Haman's plans. U'Mordechai yada et kol asher na'asa vayikra. Mordechai et begadav vayilbash sak vayifer vayetze betoch ha'ir vayizak zeaka gedola umara. It doesn't take a lot of imagination, ladies. All you have to do is listen or watch to Bibi's speech yesterday in the Congress. The transcript is posted upstairs. We know what it's like for a Persian ruler to have the ability and desire publicly to destroy the Jewish people in one fell swoop. Doesn't take a lot of imagination to lose sleep over this. So you and I have to act like Mordechai. And we understand fully why he did that. Vayikra Mordechai et begadav. Of course, vayilbash sak vayifer. And of course, vayizak zeaka gdola umara. Pasuk bet, vayavo ad lifnei shar ha-melech. Kiyen lavo al shar ha-melech bilavush sak. Shar ha-melech, as Rabbi Liebtag often says, unlike the children's Megillahs, he's not sitting at the gates. Right? You heard that before? Rabbi Shigalevsky also, yeah. He's not sitting at the gates. If you look at a children's Megillah, the picture of him is sits by the gate. You know, nothing's going on at the gate. Shar ha-melech means his company, his cabinet, his inner sanctum. But you can't, lahavdil, you can't walk to Barack Obama or the Queen of England or the Prime Minister of Australia with bilvush sak vayifer. So you can't come. It's impossible to arrive. So he moves away. Uvechol medina umedina mekom asher dvar ha-melech vedato magia evel gadol la-yehudim v'tzom uvechi umispeid sak va'efer yutzal rabim. Ladies, you don't know the end of the story. Jews around the world are screaming and mourning. I am not old enough to remember, but this is the feeling that there were apparently in the first couple days of the Six-Day War. What year was the Six-Day War? 1967. How many days did the Six-Day War take? 6 days. Miracle. Miracle. I mean, America is in Afghanistan for more than 10 years. We're getting there. 6 days. Anyway, so we know the end of the story. But in the first couple days of the war, and we'll review this in Yom Yerushalayim, Emir Tzashem, Abba Aleinu Letova, the first couple days, Israel kept radio silence. Israel kept radio silence, so even though the Egyptian Air Force was destroyed in 2 hours, 2 hours. Nobody knew it. There were no Israeli radios, so all you could do was sit in your bunker, under your house, and listen to Egyptian radio and Jordanian radio. And what they were saying was not, the Egyptian Air Force was destroyed in 2 hours. What they were saying was, we are marching on Tel Aviv. We're marching on Haifa. And all Arab brothers better join us. If not, we're going to take all the spoils ourselves. And every Jew around the world is listening to these reports. I mean, a handful of people knew the truth. And so imagine, the second or third day of the Six-Day War. This is, Lahavdil, what's going on here. Everyone in the world is crying. Levush, Sak Va'efer, Sak Va'efer, Yutzala Rabim. They're screaming, Tzom, Uvechi, Umispeid. Nobody knows what's going to happen. The opposite. Everyone knows what's going to happen. Haman is going to destroy the Jew. There's no hope. It's gone. Vatavona naharot Esther v'sariseha v'yagidula. So Esther, sitting in the palace, she's a little bit, doesn't know what's going on. So they tell her, her assistants come and tell her. Vatitchalchal hamalka meodam in pasik dalid. So Esther gets very sick, very worried. So does she start fasting? Does she start screaming? Does she start crying? Does she start running to the king? You should fall off your chairs. Vatishlach begadim lehalbish et Mordechai ulahasir sako me'elav. Mordechai, what are you doing? You can't dress like that. The whole Jewish world is screaming and crying, and Esther tries to give him a new set of clothing. And of course, the last two words in the pasuk, v'lo kibel, of course, Mordechai is lo kibel. Presses him further, pasuk hey. Vatikra Esther lahatach misarisei ha-melech asher ha-emid lefaneha. So she calls over one of the assistants over there. Vatetzaveyu al Mordechai. Ladat mazevi al mazev. What's going on, Mordechai? What's going on, Mordechai? You don't have internet? You don't have Twitter? You don't have Facebook? You don't know what's going on? What's going on, Mordechai? Take the clothes. Why won't you? Nice new pair of shoes, nice suit. Take off that sak va'efer. You should be falling off your chairs. If we don't know the end of the story, this is Esther Hamalka. And she's telling Mordechai to get dressed. Okay. Pasuk Vav, Vayetze, Hatach, El Mordechai, El Rechov Ha'ir, Asher Lifnei Shar HaMelech. Pasuk Zayin, Vayaged, Lo, Mordechai, Eit Kol Asher Karahu, Veit Parashat, Parashat HaKesef, Asher Amar Haman, Nishkol Al Ginzei HaMelech, Ba Yehudim La'Abdam, Vet Patshegen Ktav Adat, Asher Nitan Meshushan La'Ashmidam, Natan Lo, Leharot Et Esther, Ula'Gidla, Ule'tzavot Alea, Lavo El HaMelech, Litzchanein Lo, Ule'vakesh Milfanav El Amah. This is not a rumor. This is not one of these internet, what are those called? When it's like a rumor, like alligators under the... What are those called? It's Snopes. Conspiracy theories, yeah. These conspiracy theories are these internet rumors. This is real. He shows in the document. Esther, this is real. Okay, pasuk tet, vayavo hatach, vayaget. And not only is it real, I'm sorry. Not only is it real, but you got to go. Litzavot aleha. Lavo ala melech. Esther, you got to do this. You gotta do this. Pasuk Tet. Vayavo hatach vayagid l'Esther divrei Mordechai. Great. So obviously Esther says, I didn't realize. No. Yud. Vatomer Esther lahatach v'tzaveo Mordechai. Go back to Mordechai and tell him this. Kol avdei hamelech v'am medinot hamelech yodim. Asher kol ish v'isha. Asher yavo al hamelech el hachatzer ha-pnimit asher lo yikarei. Achat dato lahamit, levad me'asher yoshit lo amelech et shavita zahav v'chaya. Va'ani, lo nikreti lavo el amelech zesh lo shim yom. Ladies, we've heard this story before, right? You've heard this since you're in kindergarten. But now let's look at it as adults. The entire Jewish population is going to be destroyed, wiped off the face of the earth. One button is pressed, and the Jews are destroyed. First of all, Esther says, clean up your act, Mordechai. Take a shave, put on some nice clothing. He says, no, Esther, you can't. You got to save us. And she says, how can I? I'll get killed. Aren't you shocked? How can I? I'll get killed. She is literally nervous about personal danger. She's nervous not about other people. She was just told a second ago, you are in a position to talk to Achashverosh. Nobody is in the position besides you. Go. And Esther says, but it's dangerous for me. And Mordechai's response to her, so anyway, you'd bet, Vayagidu the Mordechai et divrei Esther, and Mordechai's response to her is a slap in the face. This is the turning point, ladies. This is the switch. This is, as we used to say in Israel, the Asimon fell. This is means Esther got it. She gets it now. Why does she get it? Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer Mordechai lehashiv el Esther. Al tidami b'nafsheich lihi maleit beit ha-melech mikol ha-yudim. Number one, you're not getting... If you don't go to Achashverosh, you're also going to be dead. Don't think that you're going to save yourself. Personally, practically, your decision is a mistake. Practically, your decision is a bad one. You think you can save yourself by not going to Achashverosh, you're also going to die. But more than that, Yudalid. Ki im hacharesh tacharishi ba'it hazot revach v'hatzala ya'amod la'yehudim imakom acher. V'at uveit avich tovedu umi yodea im le'et kazot higat la'malchut. Not only are you yourself going to die, you and your whole family, whether you go to him or not, but this is the reason why God put you there. Ethically, morally, it's a wrong decision as well to stay quiet. Im hacharesh tacharishi is a mistake. Someone who is bound up with the trials and tribulations of Am Yisrael, somebody who is married to the ups and downs of Klal Yisrael, is not worried about personal danger. And I hope you won't be able to do this, but ask your sons, when they go into the Israeli army, whether they're worried about personal dangers. And you, when you become mothers, Emir Tzashem, you'll be worried, because that's what you're supposed to do. And your husbands are fathers, Emir Tzashem, and they'll be worried, because that's what fathers are supposed to do. But Emir Tzashem, there won't be wars by the time your sons are old enough to go into the army. But ask somebody who's in the army now. Somebody who is bound up. Somebody who is connected to Klal Yisrael is not worried about personal danger. When a nation is in danger, you don't say to yourself, but I haven't been to the king in 30 days. What you think about is, how can I help? And even if ka'asher avadati, avadati. And that is the switch. Esther hears two things, which I'll talk about in a moment. Two switches are made, two improvements, and the very next pasuk, Esther rises to the challenge. Vatomer Esther lahashiv el Mordechai, and this is the Esther from here until the end of the Navi. This is the Esther that you and I know. She tells Mordechai, Lech kenos et kol ha-yehudim ha-nimtzaim b'shushan v'tzumu alai v'yal tochlu v'yal tishtu shloshet yamim laila v'yom gam ani v'narotai atzum kein uv'chein avo al ha-melech asher lo chadat v'cha-asher avareti avareti. And even if I get lost, well, what can I do? This is what a Jew does when Klal Yisrael is in trouble. Kasher avadati avadati, vayavur Mordechai, vayas kechol asher tivta alav Esther. I never heard those words before. Kasher kechol asher tivta alav Esther. Who do you think you are, bossing around Mordechai? Yes, she's bossing around Mordechai, and she's bossing around Haman, and she's bossing around Achashverosh, and she's taking control. And Megillat Esther becomes the Megillah of Esther. Megillat Esther becomes the Megillah of Esther. It was that double message of you yourself are going to be destroyed. It's a bad decision tactically. And the second message is your role in the world is far beyond you specific. You are one piece of a large machine, a 6,000 year machine. And your job is to do everything you can, v'cha'asher avadati, avadati. And I think that there are two switches, two ideas that Esther learns, two things that she takes. And I think each of these you and I can take ourselves. It's relevant to Purim, and it's relevant throughout our lives. Number one is Lech Kinos et Kol HaYehudim. The only way it's going to work is if we connect with the Tzibur. If we feel a part of the Tzibur. If we understand what Esther finally understood. Esther understood, she literally changes her whole life around. She becomes part of the Klal, she becomes part of the Tzibur, she becomes part of the destiny of Klal Yisrael, and that is translated all the way to you and me tonight. And that is the mitzvah of Matanot Lev Yonim. Why, in heaven's name, should Matanot Lev Yonim be connected to Purim? We should have Matanot Lev Yonim every day, shouldn't we? It's called Tzedakah. So there's a unique mitzvah called Matanot Lev Yonim on Purim. And if you'll take a look at the next source down, it's the second from the bottom, the Rambam Hilchot Megillah V'Chanukah Perek Bet Halachi Yud Zayin. It's a Rambam that I quoted in the Kitzer Hilchot Purim, but now you see it inside. Mutav La'adam. Leharbot b'matanot evyonim mi leharbot b'sudato u'bishiluach manot l'rayav. She'en she'em simcha gedola u'mufuara ela l'sameach leiv aniyim v'yetomim v'almanot v'gerim. That is she'ha mesameach leiv ha'umlalim ha'elu dome l'shchina she'ne'emar, etc. That is the key of everything we're doing on Purim. Why? Because I have to understand that my little Purim with my little family is nothing if I don't link into every piece of the Tzibur, if I don't connect with every piece of the Tzibur, recognizing that my destiny is bound up with the destiny of the Klal and vice versa. This explains a famous Gemara that we know, but it's ironic that we don't know who says it. It's ironic that we don't know who says it at the bottom of the page. The bottom of the page is a Gemara in Megillah. And you'll see why I'm quoting it here. But it's fascinating we don't know who says this Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Remember those names. Rabbi Elazar said he was the student of Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Rabbi Chanina. I want you to make sure that you know that it was Rabbi Elazar said the following in the name of Rabbi Chanina. It's important to me that you know who said it. Why? Kol ha'omer davar b'shem omro mevi ge'ula le'olam. It's amazing that everyone knows the Gemara, doesn't know who said it. Isn't that funny? Kol ha'omer davar b'shem omro. If you say a Dvar Torah, if you say anything, by the way, the proof is not going to be with a Dvar Torah. We only quote it with a Dvar Torah, but with anything. If you say it, mevi ge'ula le'olam. Shene'emar, what pasuk am I going to bring from Devarim, or from Bereishit, or from Mishlei, or from Kohelet? No, from Esther. Vatomer Esther Lamelech b'shem Mordechai. What was the context there? What's he saying in the name of Mordechai? Yafeh b'gtan bateresh. If she had gone and said, and I can understand why, it's a new husband, a paranoid husband, he's really worried that everyone's trying to kill him, and guess what? I found two people who are trying to kill. So don't you like me more now? She could say it in her own name. No, she quotes Mordechai. Well, thank God she did. Because Bederech HaTeva, had she not, the whole story that God arranged and God orchestrated would not have happened, right? It was Bitan of Teresh that Mordechai knew about, found out about, revealed, had them killed, and then it was Achashverosh later. Nadadashnat HaMelech, Achashverosh couldn't sleep, remember that? And he's the one who finally says, I got to pay back Mordechai, Haman, the whole thing, the whole switcheroo, v'nafochu, right? Kol ha'omer davar b'shem omer. But why? Why is that? Again, because what does it mean to be a part of the Tzibur? It means it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about how amazingly wise I am. I've got all this great wisdom. I don't have all this great wisdom. I'm quoting somebody else. It's not about me. It's about somebody else. And when that happens, when everybody recognizes Kol ha'omer davar b'shem omro, everything is somebody else. It's related to somebody else. You take the credit. That's somebody who is linked with the Tzibur. That person will bring Ge'ula Le'olam. That attitude, that culture brings Ge'ula Le'olam. This is the idea behind the Machatz Yashekel. This is the idea behind the Machatz Yashekel that you and I are going to give before Purim. This is the idea not only that we're going to give before Purim, we read it before Rosh Chodesh Adar, and we're reading it this coming week. We're reading the Parsha of the Shkalim, and that's exactly what the Shkalim are. He'ashir lo yarbeh ve'hadal lo yamit mimachatit ha-shekel. Everybody gives. Sure, there is place for people with means, of course, to give tzedakah. It's an incredibly beautiful thing. No question about it. Philanthropy is true today, and it was true in those days. But nobody in Klal Yisrael can say, I have no part in the Mishkan, I have no part in the Avoda, I have no part in the Beit HaMikdash. Every single person, from Bill Gates all the way to the homeless Jew, walks down the street, hears the singing of the Levim, smells the Korbanot, sees the beautiful Avoda, all those are mutter, whether you're a Kohen or a Levi or a Yisrael, everyone's allowed to. Smells the Ktoret, sees the beautiful building, and every single person, can you imagine a homeless person doesn't have food for two meals and says, I am a part of that. I am connected to that. I am partners with everybody in Klal Yisrael. I'm partners with Bill Gates. We're together. I'm an equal investor. Nobody's more, nobody's less. I've got a part. Every single person has a connection. Machatzit shekel. Not only that, but we give a half a shekel. A half a shekel. Why a half a shekel? Because we're not a whole. I'm not a whole until I join you. I'm not a whole until I connect with you. And that's perhaps the idea why Moshe didn't understand Zayitnu. He didn't understand how you could make a Machatzit shekel. Is it so hard? You just, somebody can draw it for you. Is it so hard? No, but it was hard to understand how you can take money and make it kadosh. How do you say a contribution in Hebrew? A truma, from the word leharim. I can raise up money. I can lower it too, by the way. I can use it for very bad things. And I can use it for kina and kavod and taiva, no question about it, and gneva and gzela. If I want to, then unfortunately we've seen it with our own eyes. But I can also take this thing that can be used for kina and kavod and taiva, and I can use it to build the sockets of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Mishkan. I can use it to bring the Korban Tamid, or all the Korbanot of the Tzibur throughout the year. Or I can use it for any other Berek HaBayit, things that are needed in the Beit HaMikdash. I can raise it, but I can only do it with a half a shekel. I can only do it with you. I can only do it with you. If you think about it for a minute, you remember that the second Beit HaMikdash is the Beit HaMikdash where the Gemara tells us in Sukkah that if you never saw the second Beit HaMikdash, you never really saw a great house, a great building. You never saw a binyan in your life. That's in the second Beit HaMikdash. As you heard a couple of minutes ago in the last year, very, very few people came back from Bavel to build the second Beit HaMikdash, right? About how many? Yafeh Me'od, a little more than 40,000 people. Yafeh Me'od. Nobody. Very few people. And none of the bigwigs. And yet they managed one half shekel and another half shekel and another half shekel. They managed to build the nicest building that you've ever seen. Nicer than the first Beit HaMikdash and nicer than the Mishkan. Isn't that incredible? Because when you join with other people, half, 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 you understand the recognition of connection to Klal, connection to the each prat is as valuable as the Klal. And that's the idea, of course, of Bnei Yisrael being Kechol Hayam, that we are not only Kechochvei HaShamayim LaRov, that each star is perfect, and I'm sorry, you know, is huge, and it's a universe in itself, but we're also pieces of sand. In itself, we're nothing. Together we can build buildings. Together we can build buildings. And that is the message, that everybody's a partner, everyone has to recognize that everyone's a partner, and that's message number one that Esther learned from Mordechai, with the slap in the face in Perek Dalet, that turned Esther into Esther. And she's no longer hiding her face. And she's no longer saying, hiding her identity. She's Esther the Jew, who steps up and recognizes that my value has to be in Machatzit HaShekel. I can contribute, but I contribute part of the Klal. And there is a second point, maybe a little bit of a broader point that I wanted to share, And that is the very fact that Esther was able to transform herself. Esther was able, later in life, older than 18, was able to change herself. And she didn't hold back. She embodied DMD. We know what DMD is. She embodied lowering her defense mechanisms. She embodied taking Musar. She embodied taking Tochacha. She embodied recognizing and realizing that she has the ability, and I'll even say the responsibility, to change. And there are many, many messages from this week's Parsha about the Egel, but I want to share two of them regarding this last point. Number one, when we do change, we have to make sure that the change is not ephemeral. We have to make sure that the change is not merely superficial. We have to make sure that the change is long-lasting. The Egel HaZahav and Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz and Sichos Musar mentions this, and many other people do as well. The Chama Leibowitz says it as well. The Chama Leibowitz mentions that this is what happens. Bnei Yisrael come out of... Everyone recognizes this. Bnei Yisrael see the miracles that Moshe brings back with him from Midian. They see the miracles of the Eser Mako. They see the miracles of Yitziat Mitzrayim. They see the miracles of the well and the clouds and the fire and the Anani HaKavod. They see the miracles of Har Sinai, and boom, Egel HaZahav. Egel HaZahav. I should mention that if we're talking about the Egel HaZahav, it is connected to the Tzibur as well. I am bound up to the Tzibur. 3,000 people worship the Egel, and yet all of us suffer. We only have the second Lucho, not the first, because of 3,000 people. Out of about, I don't know, 2 million people? Tzibur. All for one and one for all. But if we're talking about change, this kind of change, these quick kind of changes, especially when they come through miracles, are not long-lasting whatsoever. Nachama Leibowitz uses the language as follows. Miracles, this is her quote, miracles, even if they change nature, cannot change human nature. Miracles, even if they change nature, cannot change human nature. They can, as Nachama Leibowitz says, shake the human soul out of its everyday concepts. They can shake the human soul out of its everyday concepts, but they cannot, in themselves, effect a lasting transformation. One single religious experience cannot change a person. Only a prolonged disciplining in the Torah could accomplish that. Spontaneous, overnight growth is, in reality, no growth at all. Spontaneous, overnight growth is, in reality, no growth at all. This has taken upon itself a term in the late 20th century, early 21st century, known as flipping out. Flipping out. And I don't know what it means. Some sociologist is going to write a doctorate about this. Flipping out. And flipping out is this idea of quick, ephemeral, superficial change. Almost never, not never, but almost never does it last. I'm not saying it's not real. It's real. For often. Let me back up. It's not always real. Often it is real. But it's... There's no meat to it. There's no hooks to it. There's no roots to it. And so trees without roots get washed away in the first storm. Trees without roots get washed away in the first storm. And so it's good-natured for many people, but it's unfortunately not long-lasting. And it comes and goes with ease. And so our change has to be long-lasting, and our change has to be slow, our change has to be real, our change has to be from within and not from without. Having said that, I do want to say one last point. I hate the expression flipping out, because everybody knew the expression flipping out. And I'll tell you what the danger is. Because I just went on a rant about flipping out. God forbid we can't flip out. God forbid we can't flip out. And this kind of seminary, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, I love working here and I love watching you. Growth is slow. It's hard to see. It's hard to see. It's hard to see. And so often people this time of year will say, well, I don't feel that I've changed so much. I'll just give you a hint. Sometimes if you haven't seen a relative in a long time, they'll see you. They haven't seen you since your bat mitzvah, let's say. So what do? There's the mandatory pinching of the cheek. That, for some reason, the only advice I could give is to grow a beard. And that has seems to have stopped that. I don't know. So those of you who want to take that advice to prevent, you know, you take it or leave it. So the mandatory cheek pinching. And what's the next thing they do? Oh my gosh, look how you've grown. You used to be like this, and now you're like this. There was once this guy, I was walking on the street, and I saw this guy. I haven't seen him in such a long time. I say, Dubin, I haven't seen you in so long. You used to have black hair, and now you have blonde hair. You used to be so tall, and now you're so short. You used to be so strong, and now you look a little bit slight. David, what happened to you, David? And he says, I'm sorry, my name's not David. I said, and you changed your name also. That's a joke. That didn't happen. But it's really sad when you have to say that's a joke. You know what I mean? Like captions. I need one of those applause signs up on the... So they say to you, oh my gosh, look how much you've grown. My, how you've grown. When you're that age, you talk like that. My, how you've grown. And it's true. You've gotten taller, thank God. What's strange is that you've seen you every day. So how come you don't pinch your own cheeks and say, my, look how much... Oh, you grow a beard and then you won't do that. My, look how you've grown. Why don't you? Because you do see yourself every day. Since you see yourself every day, you don't. I would imagine, if you didn't look in a mirror for a year, then you open your eye, oh my gosh, wow, I really have grown. But since we see ourselves every single day, we don't see the change in ourselves. When do we say change in ourselves? When we see pictures of ourselves when we were younger. When we see pictures of ourselves. So the recommendation is just take a picture of yourself. I don't mean today. I mean you did already. In the beginning of 12th grade or the beginning of 11th grade or the beginning of this year. And I don't mean a physical picture. I mean things that you've used to do and things that you do now. Or things that you never did and things that you do now. Many of you, maybe all of you, couldn't dream of being in the Beit Midrash at midnight, ever. And look at this. Overnight. No, it's not overnight. It's day after day of slow growth. And so that's the advice, you know, and that's why we dislike and we go on this rant about flipping out. But there's one danger, and I'm going to end with this. It's not still connected to Esther and change, but there's one thing I really, really hate. I don't know who coined the phrase flipping out. I don't know if it's that band or not. It could be, I don't know. And I don't blame them. I'm just saying there's one danger. Because everyone here is really quick to say, oh, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. I'm not going to flip out. And what happens is that those words become 1,000-pound weights on your ankles. They become 1,000-pound weights on your ankles. Chas v'shalom, I should daven ma'ariv. I'm not going to flip out. God forbid. What are they going to say when I go back on Pesach? Oh, chas v'shalom. I can't, God forbid, no one here should have kavana during benching. God forbid, I'm not flipping out. We're flipping out. Oh, look what's happening to her. She's flipping out. Those words are so poisonous that they prevent people from real growth. And that is a disaster. That's a disaster. Because then that's the same thing as having these roots. Yeah, it's a nice year, nice time, good experiences. And then God forbid, at the first storm, look what happens. We lay down those roots and they're grown slowly. And who in heaven's name cares what other people say? You care about two in the world, that's you and God, and not in that order. It's you and God and not in that order. Then if it means you're changing, let me put it this way. If you're not changing, then what's the point? If you're not changing, what's the point? I don't mean what's the point of this year. I mean what's the point of waking up tomorrow? What's the point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rabbi Munatecha giving you a chance to wake up every single day? Now, it's possible that there will be a day where we fall back a little bit. It happens to all of us. Davening today could have been worse than yesterday. Benching today worse than yesterday. Lashon Hara slipped out. Been there, done that. We all know what that means. But I'm talking about long-term growth. If anyone has ever invested in the stock market, hopefully you know that you invest in a stock, especially unless you're a day trader, but no one here should be a day trader, and you recognize that it's possible you put in money and the next day, oh my gosh, it went down 23 cents, and you start panicking because you lose all your bat mitzvah money. And what does your father or your mother say? Wait. Take a long-term perspective. The stock is going to go up and the stock is going to go down, but if you pull back, hopefully, long-term, it makes its way up. That's what you and I want. That's what God wants. God invests in you. Rabba emunatecha, modeh ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayam. Shechazarta bi nishmati. You don't say it like you sing it. Because if you say it like you sing it, the punctuation is all off. The punctuation is all off. And punctuation, you know, is very dangerous. You have to make sure that you punctuate things properly. For example, if you're driving along and you say something like, what's that up in the road? Ahead? That's really different than saying, what's that up in the road ahead? Punctuation changes everything. You know about grammar, right? Okay. So it's not, you know, that's poor Hebrew. That's not good. It's shechazarta bi nishmati b'chemla. You have returned my neshama to me. And you know what? Rabba emunatecha, you're so faithful that you return my neshama to me. But the Hasidim say, no. Not you're so faithful I can believe in you. It's Rabba emunatecha, God, your faith in me. I opened my eyes this morning. I had the zechut to open my eyes this morning and to stand up and to stretch and to recognize people and to talk and to think and to breathe and to remember things from yesterday. What a zechut that was. And why did I do that? Because Rabba emunatecha, God had faith in me that today is going to be a better day than yesterday and tomorrow than the day before. So this flipping out is so, it's bad. But it's worse because it puts weights on our ankles and it prevents us from really making changes. And this Ta'anit Esther and this Purim, we are all going to be the descendants of Esther. We are all going to be the spiritual and ethical and moral and responsible descendants of Esther. And we're going to, number one, connect with the Tzibur today or tomorrow. If you're not celebrating Purim, go to a hospital, go to a nursing home, go to your chesed that you don't normally go to. Enjoy. Be a part of the tzibur. Give tzedakah. Give matanot levyonim. Mishloach manot is beautiful. But that's ish l'reyehu. Anybody can be friends with their friends. But go out to the people you don't necessarily know. Matanot levyonim. And number two, we're going to go beyond Purim. Purim is going to come and Purim is going to go. And in Yemei Tzah Hashem, we're going to have a great time. But we're going to lay down roots. And we're going to be able, not only Esther, but we are going to be able to transform ourselves today, tomorrow, and the next day. Have an easy fast and a Chag Sameach, everybody.